You know, it's just a joy being back here and seeing you all and rejoicing together. And it's lovely hymns you've been singing. One thing I like about the choir here, you hear the words of singing. Isn't that beautiful? Sometimes we hear a lot of melody and music, but not the words. But here we hear the words as they come through. Those are singing those wonderful hymns. Colin Anderson and I were coming home from Calgary, Alberta. We were up there for an 8-week crusade, preaching 6 times a day, starting 6 o'clock in the morning. And Colin had been up in the observation car of the train. I was in the bedroom, reading and writing and studying. And I'm just singing away to myself. So he stuck his head around the door and said, "Jim, I'm glad you can sing. I'm glad you can preach." And the situation was, "I cannot sing." Before we go on with the message, so I want to sing, "Do you believe he is?" Say, come on, all together. "Do you believe he is precious? Of whom have you not seen me? How beautiful. Do you believe he is precious? Of whom have you not seen we love? Though we see him not, yet the joy with joy untold and full of glory. To you who believe is precious, of whom have you not?" That's beautiful. Right, oh, then let's go back to John 14, shall we? Little cozy corner chapter. Luke a little bit this morning. The 14th chapter of the Gospel by John. We're looking at 5 new things. We touched the first one this morning, a new revelation, verse number 3. Remember what it says? The Lord Jesus said, "If I go, I will come again and receive you unto myself. Where I am, there you may be also." A new revelation. If I go, I will come again. He's gone away, but not to stay. He's coming back again. And his coming is as certain as the dawn. We rejoice in that glorious fact, don't we? He's coming as a bright and morning star to take his bride away. He'll come back as the Son of Righteousness and bring his church back with him in a coming day. But now here tonight we're going to Luke at verse number 6. And there are 2 new things here in verse number 6. First of all, says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." There is a new role. I am the way. And there is a new relationship unto the Father. A new rule. There is a way back to God from the dark path of sin. There is a door that is open and all may go in. And Calvary's cross is where you begin. Where you come as a sinner to Jesus. In Genesis 3 verse number 24, the way to God's presence is closed as a result of sin. But in Hebrews chapter 10 verses 19 and 20, the way is opened up back to God on the ground of sacrifice. He opened up a new and living way with his own blood. His own blood. Way back in Isaiah 59, verse number 2, we read, "Your sins and your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and hid his face from you." And hid his face from you. And I have a wonderful message for you. In Hebrews chapter 9, verse 26, we read, "Once in the end of the age has Christ appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself." And now that great big barrier stand between the Creator and the creature had been forever removed. And God will not hold us responsible for Adam's sin. Never will. that there is only one sin that will keep a person out of heaven and destine them to the pit is the sin of taking our own way instead of Christ, who is the true and living way. Say, remember in Isaiah 53, verse number 6, all we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way. Now that is sin. For in the life of the believer or the unbeliever, acting independently of God, I repeat, taking our own way instead of Jesus Christ, who is the only true and living way. The sin is the sin of unbelief. The sin of unbelief. Rejecting God's Son as our very own Lord and Savior. What is unbelief? Unbelief is heaven insulting. Unbelief is God dishonoring. Unbelief is hell filling. Unbelief is soul damning. And if tonight you're here and never taken the true and living way and known the Lord Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you're guilty of that sin just now. For that can be forever removed. Oh, I'm so glad about it, aren't you? Says in John chapter 3, verse 18, the Lord Jesus said, ye are condemned already because ye believe not. What a tremendous statement. Ye are condemned already because ye believe not. Not waiting to be condemned in the coming day. Oh no, the condemnation, my friend, is upon the unbeliever now. And there's only one way for that condemnation and judgment to be lifted, is to accept the Lord Jesus as your very own Lord and Savior, and start on a new and living way. May I come back to this, because it's very, very important. Some time ago, I was in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, speaking there at their conference, and they allotted me to go to an assembly called St. Clair for the family Bible hour on the Lord's Day morning. I've seen that assembly started some years ago with only 11 families. Today they got 350 in fellowship. Now, do you get letters of interest? I trust you do. You find a report there about that assembly written by my good friend, Dave Good. Another good Monroe from Scotland is now there in a full-time capacity called John Monroe, a lawyer that who gave up his practice and went into the ministry. God is using him as a Bible expositor in a very real way, right there, along with John Clunas, who is the gospel preacher. And Mr. Monroe is truly the Bible teacher. A wonderful blending. Anyway, this morning, the place was cram-packed full. And I took my place at the dais. Two young people came forward, sat down in the seat I just vacated. And after service was over, I'm standing at the door, which I always like to do. And these two young people came forward. I found it were two high school teachers. The girl said, Mr. Basil, that's the most sane, rational, logical address I have ever heard in my life. I thanked her. My ego was bolstered. But then, she said, always come. They both threw you up and put a pin in it straight away. Said, but I can't agree with you when you say we're condemned already. I said, my dear, I never said that. She said, oh yes, you did. I heard you. Yeah, my dear, I never said it. Well, my brother also heard you say it. I said, that may be so, but I did not say it. He said, well, who said it if you didn't? I said, the Lord Jesus said that. I was just a mouthpiece. Good morning. God bless you. 2 hours afterward, they found out when I was having lunch and found out, can we come and see you? Said, yes, come along. 2 hours after that, they were led to the Lord Jesus as the Lord and Savior on the ground of John 5:24. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me past and the present tense, hath eternal life and shall not come into condemnation, the future tense, but is passed from death unto life, the past tense. And that very moment, they came right through and acknowledged the Lord Jesus as their very own Lord and Savior. And for them, the condemnation, the judgment was removed and removed forever. Because it says in Romans 8, verse number 9, there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. And I come back to this immediate congregation. And I say with all my heart, listen to what the Lord Jesus says. Ye are condemned already because you believe not. You have not believed on the Lord Jesus to the saving of your precious soul. You may believe all about Him. You may believe in Him. But until you believe on Him, which means a complete commitment of your whole being to Him, spirit and soul and body, coming in the land of that delightful hymn, just as I am, thy love I own, has broken every barrier down, now to be thine, yea, thine alone, O Lamb of God, I come. That being so, you started on the King's highway. Now, in John chapter 1, verse number 1, we read this remarkable word. In the beginning was the Word. Now that is eternity. And the Word was with God, and that's His personality. And the Word was God, and that's His deity. But down at verse number 14, the same capital W, and the Word became flesh. Now that is His manifestation, and that's His incarnation. Their next part is manifestation and tabernacles among us. There He is, the Word with God. But in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 24, He is the wisdom of God. Says, remember, God made Christ be unto us the wisdom of God and the power of God. Now, He is the Word with God. He is the wisdom of God. That here in John 14, He is the only way to God. The only way to God. Now, isn't that just precious? And He stands out and says, I am the way. I am the way. The only way. And Acts 4:12 says, there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And what is that name? The name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now He says, I am the way. I like that, don't you? I really do. I am the way. Now in this verse, we got three lovely little sweet peas for you. First of all, I am the way. You have a pathway for the wanderer. A pathway for the wanderer. I am the truth, a panacea for the ignorant. That means a universal remedy for the ignorant. And then you got a provision for the day. I am the light. But this first one we want to deal with for a short time tonight. Lord Jesus, I am the way. There are two ways referred in the Word of God. There is a broad way, and there is a narrow way. And all by nature, as the children of Adam, are traversing the broad way. They're going along the broad way. It seems right, but the Bible says the aims thereof are the ways of death. And Haggai challenges us to say, my friend, to consider our way and to consider the letter in. Now you may have been christened as a baby. Probably, my friend, you have been confirmed. Probably you have been vaccinated and are about the same. Or you have been baptized by immersion. Or you are a communicant. Or you are a church member. You may be a deacon. You may be an elder. You may be a pastor. Maybe a teacher. But my friend, now listen. The way seems right. It's full of religion. Full of respectability. my friend full of good works. And there is my friend the beautiful flowers of pleasure right there in that way. For the aims thereof are the ways of death. The ways of death. Now as a wise thinking person, I want each of us tonight just to stop and consider the ways. When I'm driving along the highway, if I come to a place I'm not just too sure if I'm on the right way, I stop and I say, please, I won't go any further. I stop immediately when I think I'm on the wrong way. I don't want to waste gas, you see. I'm a Scotsman. And so here it is. I stop and say, excuse me, am I on the right way to such and such a place? Well, yes, go down there. I think that this is the right way. Now, I don't take advice. I don't take advice. I go back and say to someone, you know if I'm on the right way to such and such a place? Oh, yes, you're on the right road. Go straight ahead. I take his advice. Just I think, or you're maybe. Now, I don't take his advice. Am I afraid tonight? I've got God's word. God would say, consider your ways. Consider your latter aim. Now, the way you're traversing tonight, I remember Bill Patterson preaching years ago on Psalm 119, verse 65. I thought on my ways and considered, and I turned and sought his testimonies. I thought on my ways and turned and sought his testimony. Oh, friends, tonight, please stop and think and consider. Is the way I'm traversing life the right way? Or is it, I hope so, I trust so, my friend, I want you to know so tonight. And you can truthfully say with all sincerity, on the golden streets of heaven, all men hope to walk someday. Yet so many are not willing to accept the living way. While others build on good works, or opinions if they may, hallelujah, I'm depending on the blood and the soul-cleansing blood of the Savior. I've been washed in the crimson flow. And the Father has shed blood of God's beloved Son, and he's taken all upon that shed blood. There is no salvation. Nay, my friend, you're not on the narrow way, lethal life, eternal bliss, and to eternal glory. You're on the broad way, going down and down and down. Years ago, on my first visit to Canada, there are two countries I always liked in geography at school. The one was Canada and the other India. Now, I've been to both countries and I prefer Canada. But here, a schoolboy aspiration was being fulfilled. I stood there by the fall, something I always wanted to do from a little boy. It was a beautiful day in the middle of July. The grass was a tender green. The flowers were all appearing all around, and the trees were wonderful blossoms, and the birds were singing a lovely song. The sun was shining all its strength and glory and beauty. I stood by the falls. I can't explain to you the emotion that stirred in my being. I watched those tremendous waters falling over the falls and smashing on the rock beneath. Oh, that thunderous noise of those many waters. Then I saw spray going back up in the heavens about 100 feet. And I stood there, lost in wonder, love, and praise. Just to think, that great force of water reminded me of his love and his grace flowing over my spirit life, right down deep into my heart. That little spray, so tiny, so puny, in contrast, the great force of water was my thank you going back to him. And just to think to the great Creator, between one of the great ones of the world, right there before me, had to die upon the cross to become my Lord and Savior, knowing the right way back to God. Oh, that gripped me that day. When I stood there, my friends came and said, come on, Jim, let us get into the car and go to the other side and see it from the American side. Oh, I said, please let me stand here a little longer. No, I was naturally spellbound. In a word, I was speechless. My wife says that's impossible. But that day I was actually speechless. So anyway, we got in the car, went over the bridge, came round the corner, and there were the customs officers waiting for us. They asked each one in the car where they were born. And when he came to me, he never even asked where I was born. He just said, when did you leave Britain? And I said, 3 weeks ago, sir. Now, how he knew I just come from Britain, I simply don't know. Maybe my English cut suit in those days and my detachable collar, but he knew I just come from Britain. So he said, oh, you better go into the office. So then another officer said, what's the problem? I don't know. John, you're from the UK? I said, yes, I am. But where's your passport? Oh, passport. So I left my passport in Toronto. My friends did not tell me we're coming into your country. Supposed to be a special treat for me to come and see the falls from your sign. I'm sorry, sir. I haven't got my passport with me. But they said, you can't get in without your passport. But, sir, we're only coming for 2 hours. I got to preach tonight in Toronto, so I'm not coming to stay. He said, you can't get in without your passport. Now, he was quite polite. But just that moment, the driver of the car came in. Is there any difficulty? The officer said, yes, this young fellow, that was 54 years ago, this young fellow can't get in without his passport. And so my friend said, look, I'll leave my insurance policy, I'll leave my billfold, leave any you want me to leave, I'll pick it up in 2 hours' time. He says, sir, it's more than my job's worth. I can't let him across without his passport. Well, isn't his face honest enough looking? His face is all right, but still I can't let him across without his passport. And you know something, with a turn back, all because I hadn't got my passport. Now, I look around the delightful group here tonight. Now, I do ask you to raise your hands, all of you, who one day want to be in heaven. I'm sure you put probably both hands up. You're so keen to be there. Now, listen carefully. If you have not got your passport, you'll never be there. My willing, my friends, to stand short for me, but for the veracity of all that I was saying, but it wasn't enough. I hadn't got my passport. Now, I said a moment ago, you may have been christened or confirmed a church member. Probably my friend with your mom and dad, you said your prayers and read the Bible morning and evening. And your morals and ethics, my friend, are actually above standard. My friend, with a clean moral life. And my friend, you will never do anyone any injustice. Oh, my friend, that may be true. But unless you got the passport, you'll never be in heaven. Oh, is that crystal clear? Now, what is the passport? Just this. Christ said, if ye have not my spirit, you're none of mine. If you have not the spirit of Christ, you're none of his. Ah, but listen now. When my all I'd ventured on Christ's atoning blood, the Holy Spirit entered, and I was born of God. And there it is. If tonight you have the Spirit indwelling you, you most certainly have the passport, and you most certainly will be in heaven. Isn't that a wonderful testimony? Now, here is another very practical one. I was born in Stafford, down in the Midlands of England. I couldn't help that, really. But I was born in Stafford. My mum and dad were both Scottish. My mother came from the Highlands. My father came from the Lowlands. My father was a captain of Salvation Army. Married my mother, who was a deaconess in the Church of Scotland, a good Presbyterian. And he lost his captaincy because he married outside the Salvation Army. So you're not allowed to marry below your rank in the army. If you do so, you'll lose your rank. My father lost his captaincy. Now, here it is. And I was only 18 months old when my father went on. I didn't know my dad. I wish I had. He's about 6'2" and he's stuck in soles. A real mock, a shock, a beautiful auburn hair, wavy hair. And I wish I'd have known him. I really do. But anyway, here's the point. When he lost his captaincy, he began teaching music for Dale Fawkey, a large music house in the British Isles. He had the privilege and the honor of placing the first grand piano in Buckingham Palace. Many times he sung before the royal family. They tell me he had a beautiful baritone voice. And Queen Mary invited him many times to come and sing at certain festivities they had in the palace. And her favorite hymn with these words, there was 99 that safely lay in the shelter of the fold. My mother took me back to Scotland when I was 18 months old, and she remarried when I was 5, a widower for 3 grown-up boys. My mother always went to church morning and evening. And because being a deaconess, she was very active in the church. She told me she was christened as a little baby. Then, of course, she became a Sunday school scholar, Bible class. Then she began teaching the class. And then she sang in the choir. And she did a lot of visitation work and social work as a deaconess for the Church of Scotland. Anyway, cutting my long story short. Mother, a terrible storm came on. She wouldn't go on a car on Sunday. She wouldn't go on a bus on Sunday. That was desecrating the Lord's Day. Real old typical Victorian type, you see. Anyway, she said, I can't walk down to the church tonight, 1.5 miles both ways. I says, I'm right opposite where we laid with a little hall, a little mission hall. She had never been a place in her life. That was just a sideshow. The Church of Scotland was the place, and everything outside of that, they wasn't real. But anyway, she said, I'll go across there. She went across there at night, and the place was filled. But she got a seat. The preacher, in very simple ABC language, told the story of the cross and preached the gospel in all its simplicity and all its matchless power. And he emphasized the fact, Christ died for all mankind, but only instead of those who believe on him. The blood of Christ is sufficient for all mankind, but only efficient for those who trust the Lord Jesus. This is something new to Mother. All our lives should be Christ died upon the cross and rose again. And she gave that mental arsing, these historical facts concerning Christ. But now for the first time in her life, she realized she had never been saved. She had never been a child of God. Had you asked, are you a Christian? Oh yes, I'm a Christian, all right. Oh yes, I'm saved. And she, depending upon the historical facts, she gave a mental assent to all her life. Now, she found, although she believed all her life that Christ died for her, she never realized though that night he died instead of her. It's a personal matter. She was personally put in her claim and received Christ by faith into her heart. And that very night, she did that very thing. God came in a mighty way and saved that little woman's heart and her whole life. Next day, the minister came to see why she wasn't in church, singing in the choir on the Sunday night. Said, well, it was a terrible storm last night, sir. It was just coming down in buckets. Said, yes, I know, but rain does not usually keep you away from church. Now, being a village, everybody knows everybody else's business. The mother thought somebody must have spilt the beans on her and told the minister she had been converted. So he thought she'd better level with him. Said, sir, if anything ever happened, happened last night. Then what was that? I was born again. I was gloriously converted last night. Said, wherever you been? I went to that little place across there last night. The first time in my life I heard the gospel. That Christ Jesus came in the world to save sinners, and especially me. And I put my claim in, received Christ my Lord and said, and sir, I'm a new creation. I'm a new creature in Christ Jesus, sir. I'm born again, sir. Well, he said, that's what you get for going there. You know, business going there, he said to her. He said, sir, I'm so glad I went. I got to listen to you. I was going to go to hell. And please, sir, that's where you're taking your congregation. You tell them, because they've been christened, they are inherited the kingdom of God. Sir, that's a lie. You're deluding those people. And I'm so glad my eyes have been opened in time. And thank God I'm born again. Oh, you say, that's all right. You'll get over that in 3 months' time. She was 45 years of age then. She was 84 when she went to heaven, and she never got over it, and never went back to the Church of Scotland. Wasn't long after she was baptized as a believer and took her place in the assembly of God's beloved people. Now, my stepfather's 3 boys, grown-up boys, eldest, youngest one 10 years older than I am, second, the other one 12, And then the other one about 14 years older. My mother began to pray. All her life she had said prayers. Morning and evening she would never sit down to a meal without giving thanks. And she was very systematic in reading her Bible. And she bore a tremendous testimony and witness. And still not saved until that night. Mother began to pray for the family. First of all, the second son was saved. He was a boot manufacturer, boots and shoes. Gloriously saved. The first son, Nelson Marshall, was gloriously saved. And he went to Falkland Islands as a school teacher. Then lo and behold, my stepfather was world champion baker. White bread, Yuma bread, oat cakes, griddles, scones, and the shortcake. He was the world's champion baker, also lawn bowler, and he was well known, but he was an awful man to drink. An awful man to drink. He deluded my mother. He too, church member. Oh yes, pinstripe trousers, swallowtail coat. Oh yes, a real my friend, real church member. Now here's the point. Sometimes he got sunclot physical when he got drinking him, and I won't go into details about that. Here it is. Mother prayed for my stepfather. Know what God did? He answered her prayer and he was gloriously saved. Gloriously saved. And my friend, the result was this, has prayed like wildfire that Tom Fogo had been saved. Well, if God can save that man, he can save anybody. Many other men trusted Christ as a result. As a result. Then the eldest son, also a baker, a champion baker like his father, and the night before he became private champion boxer of Great Britain, he was saved. Gloriously saved in the town of Dunfermline in Scotland. Walking down the street, he saw there a piece of paper flying in front of him. He kicked it passing by, then it flew again. He picked it up. Gospel campaign in Abbott Hall. John Brown, the governor, the preacher, hard Bible questions and answers. Look at his watch. Oh, I ain't got time. I'll stump him. Tom read his Bible. Oh, yes, just to argue about it. He knew the book. Theoretically, intellectually, he knew the book. But my friend, I'll stump him. So down he goes. John preached the gospel again in simple ABC language. Tom was strangely moved. Now he so said it's open for questions. So he gets up and says, "Sir, what do you make of me? I'm a clean living fellow. I don't drink. I don't smoke. I'm a hard-working man. I'm a good father. I'm a good husband. I'm a good athlete. I read my Bible morning, evening. I say my prayers. Give thanks for my meals. What do you make of me?" John Brown, his little goatee, looked across and said, "Son, you know what that is in the sight of God? Filthy rags. Filthy rags." Isaiah 64, remember? And he said, "No, the dustman won't take filthy rags away. You got to burn them. Now, son, if your righteous works and all your religious observances are like that in the sight of God, what about your sins?" Like a narrow, the wet heart went home to his heart. That night he was saved. Glory be saved. Next night he went to the ring, a new man altogether. He won the championship. He stood there in the ring. He said, "I won the crown. I relinquish it immediately. Next thing is going to be a ring at the street corner preaching the gospel." They thought he had gone mad. He had got world championship ability. "Oh, you said, don't do that, man. Oh, don't be so silly." "I'm over. It's all over. I'm finished. I'm a new creation. I'm born again. I'm a new creature in Christ Jesus. It's all over." Now get this. The whole family were saved. The whole family apart from Jim Boswell. And I was 13 years of age by this time. It was a Friday night. I'll never forget it. I led boys to Christ at school. I knew the gospel. I was taught at my mother's knee. I knew a good Sunday school. I led boys to Christ at school who got to be men of God. But I wasn't saved myself. I knew the way, showed them the way, and they entered in. Well, I stood and looked on. My friend, that particular Friday night, I came right up to Jesus Christ at 11:30. My state brother's name is also Jim. They called me Jimmy. I was Jimmy because of Jim. And he laid me right through in the ground of John 3:16. A verse I'd quoted many times. You it, my friend, very, very well. And I put my name up in that whosoever received Christ by faith into my heart. And that very moment I passed from death unto life. Now get this. He went through to the kitchen, and you know where he met my mother? Down on her knees by the old kitchen table, praying to God for my salvation. And a tear rolling down her face. Oh, I thank God for the memory of that little mother. I really do. I thank God for that little woman. I really do. Now, pause. I believe I'm here tonight because of prayers of that little mother. Happy is the mother prays with and prays for their children and their husband. Oh, my friend of value. And it's good when the husband, too, is cooperating in that particular circle. It's beautiful now. That night I passed from death unto life. I became a new, and the whole family now are united in Christ Jesus. We all started, my friend, along the King's highway, no longer taking our own way, but accepting Christ as only true and living way. Now, why I told you that story, I simply don't know. I had no intention whatever of telling you that story, but someone here may have heard that story. And it's very real and very precious and very factual. I wonder, what are you going to do about it? Are you really a child of God? Are you really born again? Do you really possess the Holy Spirit? Do you really? For if not, you're not traveling along the blood-sprinkled way. And you're lost. And you need salvation. And this salvation is offered to you, not in a religion, not in a theory, not in a philosophy of man, but in the person of Jesus Christ, who said, I am the way. I am the way. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. May God bless the word tonight, spoken somewhat very simply, but I trust in the power of the Spirit of God. There's no button holding, no undue pressure, but if you're concerned about your soul and the way you're traveling, please don't go away. There'll be many here willing to have you sit down by your side and help you with your problem. And my friend, answer your question. And remember, the solution to your problem is Jesus Christ, and the answer is the same wonderful Lord.